Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live. You're welcome to join the discussion. 603-283-6160 if you want to do that. And, you know, we were just having a conversation. What is it about the ability to laugh at things that you know are just horrifically wrong that so many of us love so much? Like, my favorite category of humor by far is dark humor. Jokes the likes of which cannot be told on Free Talk Live. Maybe on Free... Well, they could be told on Free Talk Live, but definitely not on Free Talk Live. I
mean, tonight on Odyssey.
I mean, we're talking dead baby jokes are mundane compared to some of the dark humor jokes that I have sitting... That I love. That, to me, they're just hilarious. But they're horrifying, right?
Yeah.
And you
there,
made a
there
joke...
There is a category, horribly funny. Like, not just especially funny, but no, horribly funny.
And you made a joke during the break that was like, that was along the same kind of lines. Just, this is horrible, but it's funny for some reason. I don't know what that is, but it's so fascinating to me that humans can take this, something that is just absolutely horrific, and laugh about it. I think that laughter is a healing thing, and that people, we've been talking about, you know, angry people on the left, angry people on the right, people need to laugh more.
Well, and I think part of it is the fact that what... Shall not be repeated.
Yes, let's not.
Well, the fact that that was in no way actually considered a threat is why it's funny. One of the elements of humor is that if it is a real thing that people are scared of, it doesn't become funny.
And also not like a true belief that I hold personally.
Right.
So.
But let's go to the phone. Speaking of things that made people upset, we've got Starchild calling from California, San Francisco. Starchild, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Aria, how are you? What you were just saying was a perfect segue to what I want to talk about, because...
Thanks. I try to occasionally be good at this. Are you still with us? I think we lost him.
Uh-oh.
Starchild?
Idiot.
Oh.
There you are. You're breaking up a lot, though. You might want to step outside or something like that, but you called about the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir, which recently released a YouTube video that upset a lot of people. It seemed to me to be, people called it satire, but I didn't think satire was the right word.
Was that the "We're Coming for Your Kids" video?
Yes, but the point wasn't "We're coming for your kids to make them gay," which is what everyone assumed was going to be the message. It was "We're coming for your kids to make them tolerant and open rather than hateful." The only issue we had with what we actually saw was, other than the fact that it just honestly wasn't a very good song, and it was kind of annoying and tedious and repetitive, was that they used the word "make your kids tolerant and open and friendly."
Okay.
Rather than hateful, instead of, you know, "we're going to teach them to be open and friendly."
And was it not released shortly thereafter that a handful of those choir members were convicted pedophiles of, or something or another?
If so, I haven't heard about that. Okay. I don't know.
Well,
so,
I'll look that up later.
And there's a larger principle there is, like, if something is virtuous, then it can only be virtuous if it's engaged in voluntarily.
Yes.
Like, feeding the hungry is virtuous. Being forced to feed the hungry isn't.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's an excellent point, you know. It comes right back to the idea of charity and taxation and all of that. Yes, it's charitable. It's good to give your money to help people. But the government taking your money and using it to help people is not necessarily good, because it involves a lot of immoral acts along the way. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to help kids? That's great. Contribute your money to that. But putting a gun to someone's head and forcing them to give money to kids is not a moral thing to do.
So, yeah, abstaining from calling someone a racial epithet is good. Being forced to abstain from a racial epithet isn't good.
It's actually worse than bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost how I was going to make that connection, but I did. So, did you find what you were looking for?
It's mostly that they were receiving death threats, and I'll retract because the only thing that mentions the pedophiles was like a right-wing trolling effort.
Okay. Mm. I can imagine they received a lot of death threats from this. Okay. Starchild, thank you for bringing the subject back to our attention. It definitely didn't seem like satire to me. I don't know how they could characterize it as. It had some satirical elements, I guess, and that, you know, they use right-wing terminology, and I don't remember now exactly what that terminology was. Conversion, I think, was one of the words they used. Of course, that is a strong right-wing talking point, but they took that and they turned it on its head, which I guess is sort of the definition of satire, but
yeah,
having
that
a
bit would be satirical, yeah.
So there's also an old quote that if you're going to tell people the truth, you better make them laugh while you're doing it, right? So it has to be funny or satirical in some form.
Not if, knowing, was it George Carlin who said that?
It may be. I don't know.
It sounds like something he would say.
But if you're going to send the message that we are going to convert your kids or make them more tolerant or whatever, it's not going to be received like that. So you have to make it funny so you can say, like, well, it's just a satire. We're just having fun with it. We're not really coming for your kids.
There was nothing funny in this video. It wasn't humorous. It wasn't clever. I guess it's clever to say we're coming for your kids.
So that's the problem,
because that's
though.
The, quote, gay agenda, right?
Well, and that's the problem, though. When it's a legitimate threat, because they will use the government to force your children to make certain actions and abstain from others. And that is a real, not only possibility, but probability. And that keeps it from being funny.
Also true, but even if they hadn't used the word make, even if they've just said, you know, we're going to teach your kids tolerance and openness or whatever.
Then it just falls flat.
Yeah.
And is that still their responsibility to do it? Like, I feel the overall culture is already moving in that direction, and there's no reason to jump in front of that parade.
Yeah, I think it's a lot like being against slavery, which is, you know, really obvious now.
It's like being against slavery as they're releasing the slaves. Like, as they're releasing the slaves, like, God, this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Society is definitely trending toward, you know, tolerance and acceptance of sexual and gender minorities. There's absolutely no doubt of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just 20 years ago, it was unthinkable to come out as a trans person. Now, trans people are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that I've seen about this, it plays into the, quote, the gay agenda theory, is that, oh, well, they're turning the kids trans and gay or whatever because now something like 3% of people are trans, and we've never had that many trans people before. Yeah, but think about how left-handed people were treated back in the day. If you were left-handed, you were forced to live as a right-handed person. You weren't allowed to be left-handed because that was considered evil.
I'm still left-handed.
Well, but there are plenty. But then we stopped doing that.
Right.
We stopped forcing people to be right-handed, and we went, oh, like 10% of the population is left-handed. It wasn't lefties out there corrupting children into being left-handed. It was that we stopped forcing people not to be left-handed.
Okay, but it's different from if you gain social points from being left-handed. So, like, right now we have sort of this oppression Olympics where, like, virtue is in being the oppressed class and vice is in being the oppressor class, and you gain points in a lot of social circles from, it used to be, oh, I'm gay, and that would gain you points because now you're one of the oppressed class, and now it's, oh, I'm trans, and that's becoming the trendy version of something that you can pick, at least, you know, apparently, that gains you a virtue in that perspective.
Do you think gay isn't enough anymore?
But that's because oppression and victimization...
Especially if you're male and white.
That's because victimization and oppression have been turned on their heads to mean what the other used to mean, right? We've managed to define power in a way that allows a person to call themselves a victim while having an inordinate amount of power over others.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So the power that exists in the United States political system today, it's all about being the weakest person, the weakest and most unable to defend yourselves against the evil patriarchy.
Okay, because you're the one who's then going to stand up for all the other weak people.
Right. Right.
Which, obviously, there are more of than there are strong, powerful people.
But the ultimate irony, and that's the biggest hint of a decline in Western society that I can tell, is that we've turned virtue we turn victimization into something that is a virtue and that provides power over others.
Yeah. So
it used to be, it's a bad thing to be a victim, but now people actively want to
be
victims.
They make it a whole part of their identity.
That's the entire reason they created that gay choir video, was so that they could justify the feeling of being victims. So now they got those death threats they wanted, those death threats that they probably had never received at any point in their lives. Now they got them. Now they can play the victim card. And now they can use that as political leverage to get what they want, because victim now means oppressor.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. You're welcome to join the discussion. It's 603-283-6160.
Only if you're respectful to the hosts.
Well, he doesn't
on
even
the phone.
He didn't even have to be respectful. He just had to prove that he could go 30 seconds without swearing, and clearly that was too much for him. I'm pretty sure it's James. It doesn't sound like him, really. But the behavior, the fact that he's now called four times.
A copycat caller.
It's.
This is the James with like 17 Deweys, right? Like.
I think it's like 23 now.
23 now, okay. Yeah. 48 Deweys.
114 last I counted. That dude can just, he clearly can't stop drinking and driving, and he clearly can't stop drinking way too much to be calling radio shows, because he can't. Look, drunk if dialing. You can't get through the screening without cussing, I'm not putting you on the radio, because that would be stupid. But we've got
3 D's, drink, dial, and drive.
We've got Starchild back talking about the Gay Men's Choir. Starchild, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, so the point I wanted to make with that whole thing about the Gay Men's Chorus was there's a couple different, I think, things, or there's several levels, you know, going on with the song, and it helps if you have some sort of background or exposure, not necessarily just to gay sort of drag queen stand-up performance, comedy routines, and also musical theater, which a big portion of the gay community is into. And clearly when I heard that song, it's a song, it's like something that you would hear in a musical. And on some level, yes, they mean it, but on some level also, it's like a caricature of itself. And humor works in many cases, you know, as you were pointing out before I came on about the, you know, horribly funny and things which are really dark humored, but you and many others, including myself, tend to find humorous. And part of that is talking about the forbidden. And one of the huge taboos and hang-ups in our culture is anything even closely related to children and sexuality. I mean, some people are so, well, the other conversation you guys were having the other day about the, a week ago or something, the guy who dressed up as the rainbow monkey, or maybe that was part of the same show anyway.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
You know, it was on the same show that we discussed the Gay Men's Choir, if I recall correctly, okay. But it was a very different phenomenon. The two were not related. They were just two very weird things that happened at the same time.
I understand that. I understand that. The point I was going to make about that is that so some guy comes in, you know, with bare buttocks and, you know, a fake genitalia hanging off the front of a monkey costume.
A rainbow monkey costume.
A rainbow monkey costume. Whatever the color, it doesn't matter. But the point is that nudity in and of itself is not harmful to anybody. We're all born nude, you know. The idea that the kids are going to be harmed by seeing genitalia is just, you know, part of this whole taboo. And so part of what I think did make the Gay Men's Chorus video funny is that they're messing with that taboo. They're saying, yeah, we're gay and we're coming for your kids, but they're putting a twist on it, you know, so it's not quite what you think it is. And, you know, they say, oh, it's really about tolerance and so forth. And they're not thinking in terms of the whole compulsory education and, you know, stolen tax dollars being used to indoctrinate kids and so forth.
Yeah, I didn't think they were either. That's why I didn't.
Oh, I'm sure they were not aware of that implication in what they said, which is why they said it. But to a lot of people, that is the implication. And because that's a legitimate threat.
Yes.
And I mean, I think a lot of the dark humor, it really serves to reinforce where our social boundaries are, to be like, yes, that is funny because that is absurd. And it reinforces that certain things are absurd. Now, the gays coming for your kids is to them not absurd.
From their perspective, coming after the kids is absurd because they're not thinking about the reality of the stolen tax dollars and the indoctrination and all that. They're thinking about the ludicrous fears that some people have that being around gay people is going to turn them gay or turn their kids gay or this kind of thing. And that's what they're making fun of.
Yeah.
And if you look at Randy Rainbow, I don't know if any of you have all heard of him. He does a lot of YouTube videos. In fact, when I first heard the song, before I actually went and looked at the video, I thought it was him singing because the voice is very similar. The style is similar. And he does a lot of really, I think, wickedly funny, but also in some cases very smarmy, mean-spirited attacks on President Trump, doing musical interviews with him and stuff like this. And it's of a kind with that stuff. And it's not that this is somehow unique to gay culture. Like Doug Stanhope, if you've ever seen him, he's a very wickedly funny libertarian comic. He goes to some very dark places telling jokes about babies and all sorts of things, you know, that are terribly taboo. And a lot of times he means what he's saying on some level, you know, and you know that he means what he's saying. Yeah. But he's also doing it in a way that makes it funny. And I do think that's what was going on with the gay men's chorus. I mean, yeah, they need to be educated about the realities of government and the state coercion and all this and to think in those terms, I think. But at the same time, I don't think that was their intention. I feel like you all sort of made them out to be a little bit more consciously malevolent or something like that than well, was actually that going on.
I don't understand how they could be unaware of the accusations that, you know, the progressive left, however we want to characterize it, has taken over the education system at the elementary, high school, and college levels and is using that to push.
Well, they think they're the underdog by definition.
Well,
and because of that, they can't see that.
And also, the entire concept of cancel culture allows for that, right? Like, people get canceled because they say something that they are unaware is, you know, going to offend a great number of people. Like, I was reading an article earlier today, like a mother invents a device that the child rides around on and sweeps up as the child is riding. And they called it, like, Mommy's Little Helper. And it was fine in the United States. And then they went back to Australia to market it. And oh my gosh, the uproar because it was insensitive towards stay-at-home dads. Right? Like, how could you know? Right? Their mom...
Oh, see, because I expected the uproar to be about child labor.
I expected the uproar to be about drug use.
I don't even know why that was.
With your mother's little helper.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they got upset because it was exclusive.
It was excluding the vast number of stay-at-home dads who this product could benefit. And they wanted to get rid of the mommy part of the title. So my point is there's people aren't aware of the grander culture.
Everybody's looking for justifications to be victimized. As I was saying earlier, you know, it is a power currency in our culture and kind of a sick one. I mean, we've gone overboard with it. But, you know,
that's true power to be
really
able to look at a tweet and say, this offends me and have that person deplatformed. That's a level of power that person who said that thing doesn't have.
But it's entirely plausible that the gay choir did not know that this was going to have the long-standing implications that it did.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were intending to be incendiary, and they achieved that result. Or at least, as far as I can tell, they only did it to troll.
Okay.
And troll achieved. Well done. We're still talking about
the prizes.
What are your thoughts? 603-283-6160. More coming up.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Jeremy Scott. The death toll from flooding in Western Europe has reached more than 180. Dozens more remain missing. In Germany, at least 157 people have died in recent days. It's the country's worst natural disaster in almost six decades. Gunfire outside Nationals Park on Saturday night in the sixth inning sent fans scrambling for cover.
One vehicle pulls up, another vehicle pulls up next to it, engages that first vehicle in gunfire. An uninvolved citizen that was attending this game but outside the stadium was struck by gunfire.
Metropolitan Police Executive Assistant Chief Ashan Benedict, the woman attending the game shot outside the stadium, is expected to survive. Two people from one of those vehicles later walked into a hospital with gunshot wounds. This is USA Radio News.
It is absolutely vital that we proceed now with caution. And I cannot say this powerfully or emphatically enough. This pandemic is not over.
Just in time for the UK to lift remaining lockdown measures on Monday, Prime Minister Boris Johnson will spend 10 days self-isolating after coming in contact with the health secretary who tested positive for COVID-19 this weekend. Johnson was seriously ill with coronavirus last April, spending 3 nights hospitalized in intensive care. The first positive cases of COVID-19 at the Tokyo Games have been confirmed. Two South African soccer players are the first athletes inside Olympic Village to test positive for the virus. The 2020 Games, delayed 1 year due to the pandemic, open on Friday. Banners referencing a 16th century war between Korea and Japan have been removed from Olympic Village after the International Olympic Committee ruled they were provocative. This is USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to join the discussion, you're welcome to 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Eagles Mountaineer,
and Richie Rich.
And I want to change gears here and get into this story about this woman who has spent 7 years, seven freaking years of her life trying to convince the IRS that she is spending her living life trying to convince them she's not dead.
And I, first question is why? Like, you know, if you're not being harassed by the IRS for money, just let it go.
Because you can't pass a background check.
Okay.
Ever. For anything. Like, get a job? Nope. You're officially dead. Sorry.
Oh.
Credit rating? Sorry. You're dead. You must be impersonating someone who's dead.
Is it really the IRS who makes that determination?
They have a powerful enough, they have enough sway over the financial market that if they say you're dead, then that's what everyone goes with.
Okay.
The unfortunate mix-up began with her mother's death, and 7 years later, the situation has not been resolved, causing a tax nightmare for the woman and her father.
And you got to wonder why this is so difficult. Why is it so hard to convince the IRS that you're not dead?
You're not you.
You would think being physically in the presence of an IRS agent with whatever government ID they issued you would be enough to convince them that you're not dead.
So,
well, have you heard of Vogons?
No.
That's a shame. It's a Douglas Adams reference. So if you haven't filled out the form, it's been filled out in triplicate, lost, stolen, buried for 35 years, and then returned, then they can't actually do it.
It's a reference from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That's the one, yeah.
So some years ago, there was like a podcaster who posited a scenario that kind of made sense to me at the time. Said you got two parents who like have two babies and they get the birth certificate and they like swap the forms, right? And so now you have this form associated with this child incorrectly, but it's the form that they will use for their entire life. So their identity has been reversed or mixed up somewhere along the line, and it's just like set in stone. So if the IRS, if you go to the IRS and you go like, hey, I'm her, and they go, no, she's dead, and you go like, no, really, I'm her, I am not dead, they will look for the forms, right? And then whatever you produce, there's no way to prove that that's the valid one forever.
So the legal fiction maintains the deceased status because legal fictions have no relationship to reality.
Right.
Well, it sounds about like how the government operates.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, in our language, if a person stops breathing, they die.
Yes.
In their language, a person never had to breathe to begin with and can exist in multiple spaces at the same time.
Yeah, well, their system is removed from logic and reason.
Right.
Because it's an insane belief system that glorifies violence against others.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're saying, I am alive and I am she, how do they know you're telling the truth? What document can you produce because they've already got the death certificate in hand?
Well, besides, just because you're alive doesn't mean that you're not also dead, legally speaking.
Okay. As a summer camp counselor, 25-year-old Samantha Dressig is full of energy and has an important outlook.
Quote, so she's 25-year-old. Yeah. She's 25
yeah.
now. So
she spent
some of the prime of her life fighting with the IRS about whether or not she was alive.
I mean, I don't know if it's a daily fight, right? Like they take time to turn in forms or whatever.
Well, it probably makes the rest of her life difficult, as Lee observed.
Right.
Being unable to get a job or anything like that.
Bank account, you know.
Yeah, that would be very difficult.
Life is short. You never know when it's going to end, she said. According to the IRS, hers ended 7 years ago. The last actual person I'd spoken to from the IRS, and I quote, wow, you're dead all over our system, Dressig said.
How professional. Wow. Yep, it says dead here, and it says dead here on this mainframe, too. I don't know what to tell you. You're clearly dead.
See? And here we go. The morbid mix-up began when she tried to file her taxes in 2014, the same year her mom passed away of ovarian cancer. So just stop trying to file those things and you're okay. She believes the government has them confused, even though they don't share the same first or last name.
I wouldn't put it past the government to be that easily confused. But by what method could they have gotten confused if it wasn't? I assume they must have the same name then.
Nope. Not,
apparently
they don't share the first nor last.
Now, what I wonder is, has anyone ever defended themselves in court under the auspices of being dead?
I could not have committed the crime, Your Honor. IRS said I died 7 years ago.
Well, right. And I mean, especially tax evasion. Like, I couldn't possibly have committed tax evasion because I'm dead.
That's why I don't know why she wants to fight this. I mean, I hear your points about, you know, ease of access and whatnot, but they say, nope, sorry, this account is linked to a deceased person.
So, there has to be some bit of information that she shares with her late mother. It's obviously not going to be birthday.
Or it could be that she's the one that's assuming this has anything to do with that. And it just was happenstance that they clicked over to deceased at that time.
True.
And now this is causing problems for Dressig's father's tax return, with the IRS saying he's trying to claim a deceased dependent. Because again, she was like...
LRN.FM.
Only one call per night. Try again another night. Oh, and I accidentally hit the dump button anyway. I meant to hit the end call button. One call per night, James. You know the rules.
During her only face-to-face meeting at the IRS Taxpayer Assistance Center, she was promised this would be fixed. That was before COVID, Dressig said. She has been ghosted ever since. So CBS2 called to find out how this could have happened.
Whoa. It was thunder. Rare here in New Hampshire.
That was a big boom, man.
It was
a big boom.
She's definitely not dead. I just spoke with her, Layton told an IRS agent. Her last letter from the IRS says, these situations may take some time to resolve.
So does the IRS have the mother listed as alive, or is she also deceased?
Article does not say. And it's just about over.
So this girl can't file her own taxes. And her
dad can't claim her as a dependent because she's dead.
But she's very clearly not dead.
Clearly not dead.
I suggest that she join the counter economy. Move into the gray market.
Well, she doesn't have much choice.
Yeah, she would have to in order to, like, you know, live her own life her own way.
One of the benefits of cryptocurrency, of course, is that she doesn't have to get a bank account in order to utilize cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She alone would control her fortune.
And again, if we're only talking 7 years ago, you know, that was definitely available to her at the time. This has been around for over a decade now.
Well, it's certainly more available now than it was then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's stupid to think that you could have a living person fighting with the IRS for 7 years just trying to convince them that you're actually alive.
Well,
that operates at a level of insanity and
bureaucracy runs.
You're
slowly.
Not convincing them that you're alive. You're convincing them that this person is alive.
This legal fiction.
Bingo. And you can't actually convince them that this legal fiction is alive without documentation to that effect.
I understand that, but I just want to stress to the average person that, look, if someone came up to you and said, hey, I'm not dead, here's my ID, here's me, I'm clearly alive, any sane, rational person would go, okay, yep, you're alive, checks out, your story checks out. But bureaucracies don't operate in any level of sanity. You have to be insane to look at a person who's trying to convince you they're alive.
And wants to pay taxes.
And wants to give you money and say, no, I just don't believe that you're alive. You have to be insane.
Who in the IRS can, like, uncheck that box, right? Like, it can't be that hard.
Apparently it's all over the system.
Well,
she's sure. Dead all over the place.
But someone there has the authority to go, like, okay. Active account again, right?
You would think someone would be
that simple.
But it's a matter of dealing with the bureaucracy and reaching that level of authority within the bureaucracy instead of, we're going to put you on hold for 8 hours, call back tomorrow.
Well, she's clearly an illegal alien trying to get the Social Security benefits of a dead American.
Well, so and like, what's their motivation? They have no motivation to be reasonable in any way, shape, or form.
No, because they run the United States for all intents and purposes. What are your thoughts? How would you convince the government that you're not dead when they insisted you were dead? 603-283-6160. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. Take control of the airwaves, unless you're going to call and threaten me and say nonsense. But with you tonight, it's Aria,
Peakless Mountaineer,
and Richie Rich.
And we didn't actually get into the subject in much detail. We sort of chased a rabbit hole for a bit, and then we had callers, and then we...
Physics man. Who understands any of that?
Yo.
No one. Anyone who thinks they understand physics severely underestimates the subject. I think it was actually one of the earlier quantum mechanics physicists, I think Schrodinger, who said that. Anyone who claims to understand quantum mechanics is...
I was going to guess Maxwell, but, you know.
I don't remember exactly which one it was, but yeah, no one understands. I mean, the standard model alone is a mathematical equation beyond the comprehension of... Well, it's beyond my comprehension, at least.
I will take your word for it.
But before we got into that rabbit hole again,
lest we repeat history.
We were talking about this woman who destroyed a blue... What?
Back the blue.
Back the blue sign, which obviously destruction of property, not cool. She should have to, you know, reimburse the owner of that sign or whatever. But they want to charge her with a hate crime. And then we got into a rabbit hole about hate crimes and morality and whether or not it's, you know, Lee should kill me for swatting flies. It's been, it's been rabbit holey tonight. Before we got into all of that, though, the question was, it was pointed out that cops, what you wanted to point out that we never actually got to.
Right.
Go ahead with that.
Right. So the whole thing is that she's
a class.
Right. So she's being charged with a hate crime. So I at least get the idea of, okay, it is a danger to society to vilify and dehumanize people on the basis of things that are inalienable characteristics, like your sex or your race or things like that. I get that.
So
now, being a cop,
but you have to be able to judge people based on something, because we all judge people, right? And a person's behavior is a much better way of judging them than whatever characteristics they can't control. They can control their behavior.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, like, withdrawing the expectations that we have for a human being from someone after they commit a murder, I think is a good thing. Like, that's an act that you did. Now it might be, you know, questionable to be like, I'm going to withdraw the humanity of all janitors. But it's a different level of thing than when it's, I'm going to withdraw the humanity of all Armenians. Because you didn't make a choice, you didn't make any actions to be that category.
Yeah, no one chooses to be Armenian. But one does choose to be a janitor. I prefer we just sit with police because people are immediately going to say, why would anyone want to dehumanize janitors? But, I mean, realistically, janitors are pretty heavily looked down upon in the United States.
Mm.
But that aside, police actually are the oppressors in the United States. They are the largest oppression class in the United States. To get back to the subject of how we've seen victimization and power flipped on its head, we literally have oppressors here claiming to be victims of oppression. That's the whole point behind hate crime laws, right? Is that, hey, these protected classes, they're being oppressed and mistreated by the cops, people. It was the cops doing that.
Right.
It was the cops that they had to throw bricks at in New York.
So let me read this quote from the officer and his report as to why this was a hate crime.
Okay.
According to him, due to the woman destroying property that did not belong to her in a manner to attempt to intimidate law enforcement, I placed her under arrest, the affidavit said.
She tried to intimidate the oppressor.
Right. According to the affidavit, the allegations are being treated as a hate crime, enhanced allegations, due to the demeanor displayed by the woman in attempts to intimidate law enforcement while destroying a pro-law enforcement sign.
Attempts to
intimidate.
So this lady's ability to crumple up a sign is potentially intimidating to all of the people with the guns in the world.
Well, they are a fragile class. They're scared of everything.
They are.
I saw a child. I feared for my life. Bang!
It's coming right at me!
Right.
I feel it's necessary to point out that the woman should not have destroyed property that was not hers.
Yeah.
But it's obviously not a hate crime. And if it is, then hate crime laws need to be addressed. If they can be used in such a way as to uphold the oppressor class, the historical group that has always done the oppression, then they need to be retold.
Well, and I mean, worse. Straight up extortion is not a hate crime. It's a crime. I mean, that's like the crime where you intimidate a person. That's not a hate crime. How on earth could this be classified as a hate crime?
Attempt to intimidate law enforcement.
Okay, so if I say, nice shot, bit, pity if something were to happen to it. I mean, I'm trying to intimidate you. That's a crime, but it's not a hate crime.
I suspect what we're going to find is that hate crime legislation never makes any mention about the characteristics being something a person can or cannot control.
It actually usually does, even in the definitions of protected class, which is what hate crime legislation is aimed at. So it usually includes ethnicity, disability, language, nationality, physical appearance, religion, gender identity, or sexual orientation.
That's in some states. Gender identity isn't included in other states.
Yeah.
But they didn't say. They didn't exclude any particular characteristics, and they didn't say that, you know, this shall only be binding to those things that one chooses to engage in. And the reason for that is obvious, because the government at any level is not going to come out and make a decision about whether or not it's a choice to be gay or straight.
Mm.
And this would require them to do that. Like, no, you can't have hate crime legislation applied to you if you're choosing to be a cop.
Yeah.
Because you have plenty of people on the right who say that gay people choose to be gay. And then they're no longer protected by this thing because they choose it.
And if that was widely believed, then it wouldn't be applicable for group protection. Like, if it was widely believed in our culture that being gay was a choice.
Define widely.
Overwhelming majority.
Okay.
By popular vote.
Well,
because it's, it's definitely not an uncommon belief.
No, it's not uncommon, but it is far from a majority belief.
And it depends on where you're at. If you're in Mississippi, the majority of people would say that being gay is a choice, and they're the ones with the power.
Well, and as you pointed out, those are usually the kind of states where sexual orientation is not going to be in their protected class.
Well, sexual orientation is, because the federal government requires it.
Right, right.
But gender identity isn't currently required by the federal government, as I understand it.
Mm. From the leftist perspective, a lot of those classes are becoming more accepted as a choice, right? Like, I choose my sexual identity, but I also choose my race and my creed and all the other stuff.
See, I've heard about people doing that.
Pretty sure you're not allowed to do that.
But they are, and it might be in jest now, it might be satirical now, but the more it becomes accepted, right, the more it spreads into normal culture, quote unquote. Mm.
Yeah, it's this weird thing where people are applying the rules of the internet to the real world. Because, like, on the internet, I can definitely say, I am a 14-year-old black girl with a disability. Yep, you can do that on the internet, and who's to know the wiser? But you can't actually do that in the real world. Because I cannot, for example, write a profile and then give birth.
Unless you're Elizabeth Warren,
don't say that, because males can clearly give birth now.
Mm, well, one definition of male can.
Yes.
Which is...
It's a strange world we live in, that much is true. I mean, words can be redefined, I'm okay with that. Meanings can change over time, I'm totally okay with that. But if we're going to... I've seen some examples, I think, of people who were, like, trying to identify as black or whatever, and I don't think I've seen any of them being accepted at face value for that.
Rachel Dolezal?
Was she not ultimately discovered and demonized?
Eventually, but for years, right, just dyed her hair, curled it up a little bit, and put on, like, a nice shade of spray tan or whatever, and was, like, you know, the representative of some, you know, black organization, I forget which one, but... Mm.
But she wasn't accepted for identifying as black. She was accepted because she successfully convinced people that she was black.
Yeah.
Once they found out she wasn't black...
She passed, yeah.
She passed as black.
Yeah. People stopped accepting her.
Okay.
And that's the thing, like...
Well, race is a social construct, right? I mean, the line between the whitest white person and the blackest black person is just a gradient of shades from one to the next.
Well, and I do think that it's important to avoid a lot of the terrible things that can happen due to immutable characteristics. Like, that is a different category of judgment than things that you can change.
At any rate...
The worst of all is protecting cops.
That is the worst. Cops should not be protected by hate crime laws.
Or at all. Just take away all their body armor and guns, too.
Well, they should have the same access to... defense that the average citizen has, I think. But what
are
your thoughts?
Not a taxpayer expense.
You can join the discussion over at social.freetalklive.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.